Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is the director and co-writer of the new family sci-fi thriller, Let Us In, available July 2nd from Samuel Goldwyn Films. Hi, Craig.
Summer, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. And first, let me say that I am a little bit envious because you got your Black Eyed Kids movie done before I even finished writing my story. So congrats.
Were you writing a Black Eyed Kids story?
I was.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yours is a little bit more lighthearted and action-packed than mine. I was going way dark with mine. So
Okay. Well, that's a good way to go.
So tell me, where did you first come across the myth of the Black Eyed Kids, and what got you started on the story that you guys did?
Yeah, I was searching. I knew I wanted to do this genre, and I was searching the internet for different urban legends. And I came across this one, and I knew this would just make a great movie. It was just so interesting and creepy at the same time. So, and then, you know, the fact that people confirm the fact that this is a true thing that's going on, it made it even more interesting. So from there, I created the story, and off we went.
Cool. So what was the inspiration for going forward with a teenage girl as your hero protagonist and having her be a science nerd above all things? That is so cool. To me, that is so cool.
There really hasn't been many young female protagonists in films, and actually a female protagonist that does what, you know, Mackenzie does in the film. And so I just felt like it would be something different and something that we really haven't seen in a long time. And so with that being said, I was like, okay, this is great. This will be a really cool story. And we set out, Joe and I set out and wrote the screenplay. And, you know, Mackenzie, who stars in it, is actually my daughter. So she had a lot of say with consulting on a lot of the dialogue for the teenagers. So, you know, I'm just an old guy who's sort of out of the loop a little bit on the hip dialogue. So she was very helpful with that. So it became this cool thing with a really, really cool cast, and excited for this film to finally come out.
Did she help you dial in the dialogue for the cool dad jokes?
She did. You know, she made me very aware what a nerdy dad I am. So that was nice to get that sort of confirmation. But she made it better. She elevated it and made it more real with the dialogue. And so that was great. I was happy she was able to do that.
How much time was there between like writing this and getting it into production?
It was pretty quick. It was probably all said and done to develop and write it, was probably six to eight weeks. And then, we went into pre-production that following month. And then, we had a very, tight shooting schedule. We shot this thing. I think the total amount of days was about 14 days.
Nice. So
yeah.
What sort of eye towards, I guess, production design did you guys have? Because there's a lot that sets this as contemporary, but not in, you know, any one particular era. And I think the thing that sort of grounds it is the use of non-functioning cell phones.
Right.
I mean, come on, man. We have good signals most of the time, right?
Right. Well, not all the time, but it's so funny because when we were shooting, we shot in Altadena. It's right near Pasadena. That's just outside of Los Angeles. And ironically, where we were shooting, we did not have cell reception. So it really made for a lot of fun, you know. life imitates art or art imitates life. But no, we had a great production designer on the film, Russell Yeager, who I've used on a lot of my other movies, and he did a terrific job. The art department did a great job. And obviously we used, you know, those neighborhoods in Altadena are so terrific. And we were able to use obviously a lot of the practical locations there, a lot of the homes. And, you know, we shot out in the city of Orange for the small town. So, you know, we try to make it look just like, you know, small town anywhere in the United States. And, you know, I'm hoping that that's what comes across.
It does. It does. Was the intent to go more in a sci-fi lighthearted thriller sort of direction rather than the potential for going more horror, more dark?
There's obviously many different ways to go with this, and you know, it sounds like your story is that way is a very, very cool way to go, and there's so much you can do with that. For me, it was more based on the fact that these movies for kids, sort of the gateway to these stronger sci-fi thriller / horror movies, seemed like there was a bigger market for that. And so I wanted to keep it in that world. And we had such a terrific cast that helped facilitate that. I mean, the kids in this movie are so terrific and do such a great job. And then of course you have Tobin Bell, who is fantastic in the movie and was so great to work with as well. So, but yes, that was sort of the intent going forward with the film. So we're excited, and it's excited to have another movie that, you know, you don't quite see that often these days. You know, I was a huge fan of movies like Goonies. And so I kind of wanted to kind of go down that road with this film.
Well, as a fan of indie and low budget sci-fi movies, I'm happy you got this one done, because this was very, very cute. And the pace is well thought out. There's, you know, especially when you find out, hey, there's a time limit in order to save these kids or they'll be gone. And
right,
the urgency between needing to find these kidnapped kids and the tension between the cliques of middle school and high school is like, that resonated with me. I'm like, oh, that feels familiar. That's a good job.
Right. Exactly. You know, so obviously Mackenzie, who plays Emily in the film, at the time she was almost 13 and now she's almost 15. But I have another daughter, Olivia, who has a little small cameo in the movie as well, but she's 17. So I'm able to kind of experience this stuff through them, as far as, you know, the middle school and the high school and their friends coming over and listening to what they're talking about and what goes down. So a lot of it, you know, was organic. It's not just some old dude writing stuff for kids, you know, like there was some real true research that went into to try to make it as real as possible.
Well, I think you got the tone right, and the the urgency with the mystery surrounding the black-eyed kids. And I have to ask, there were a couple of moments in there that were teased. Could there be a sequel?
I hope so. I mean, you know, that would be the dream, obviously, if we could do a sequel. But we wanted to kind of keep that door open for that possibility. I'm hoping that the film, you know, people's like the film and they, you know, you get enough people to watch it that we were lucky enough and fortunate enough to make another.
Are there any other urban myths, legends, creepypastas that are on your radar for another sci-fi story?
Yeah, there are a few that I was looking at. I think once we get this film out there and done, we'll start looking towards some others. But there was a list of stuff of different ones that I made when before working on the Black Eyed Kids. And so I'll have to go back to that list and take a look and see if what kind of makes the most sense to do. But I love them. I think they're so many cool ideas that can inspire one to make a really cool movie. So yeah, they're a lot of fun. And I love that the teenagers, you know, all know about these things. Like us old folk have no clue. Like I ask people about the Black Eyed Kids, like people my age, but I ask my nephew and like, oh yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, the Black. So I just love that sort of built-in knowledge of the subject matter.
Cool. So where can folks keep an eye on you, either online, on social media, to peek in on what you might be working on next?
It's so funny because someone just asked me that question. My daughter has to, because I'm so bad when it comes to social media. I'm like the worst. But my daughter's going to set me up specifically for this movie and stuff. So I will get that information and send all that stuff out so we people can have it for sure. But for now, for this movie, you know, we have through Samuel Golden Films, I think through their site, we have all the information about the film and the trailer and, you know, all the great information and whatnot. But the movie's being released obviously July 2nd, and it's being released in demand everywhere. I mean, you know, between Apple TV and iTunes and Fandango and DirecTV, you know, so I mean, it's everywhere. You can see the film, which is great. I'm excited about that. People have the opportunity to have different ways to watch the movie.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll have links to where people can find the film. Great. But I have a question.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about the music, because it wasn't until the end credits were rolling that I realized, wait, this was actually really well scored.
Yeah, I know, right? Todd Haberman was a composer, and I've done every movie with him, and he is amazing. He's so, so good. And I mean, there's like basically wall to wall. We have a few tracks, but like it's wall to wall score for the most part. And he's just a really talented guy, and did such a great job with this movie. Like just a terrific job. So yeah, Todd Haberman, he's a stud. The guy is great.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Craig, I would like to thank you for putting such a nice, just easygoing popcorn film out. And, you know, like I said, indie sci-fi movies, low budget sci-fi movies are something I'm very interested in and would like to see still be a thing going forward.
Yeah.
And you've given us a really, really good entry into that.
Thank you.
The movie is Let Us In, out from Samuel Goldwyn Films on July 2nd. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this. Hi, welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me now is the lead from Let Us In, Mackenzie Moss, who plays the intrepid Emily. Hi, Mackenzie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I am always happy to see that the lead in a sci-fi or a horror adventure is a science and STEM interested teen girl who is fearless in the face of paranormal monsters. So Let Us In was a very, very pleasant surprise for me. How did you approach playing Emily? Because we know that your dad directed this, and I have all sorts of questions about that, but what was your take on Emily?
Yeah, well, he came to me with the idea in the script, and also that he had me in mind for the character. And he told me about the urban myth and the legend. And I did some research myself, and I was very interested in it. And getting into the character was easy for me because he had my voice in mind and put my, you know, my words and the way I speak into it. So it was easier for me to relate to it and to get into it. But also just reading the script multiple times really helped me get into it.
Cool. Was there any part of you that you saw in Emily and decided to really dig deep into that?
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely she's definitely more confident than me, but there is some confidence that we share, and also the fact that we both persevere. You know, when someone tells us not to do anything, we would both still do it anyway. In that, you know, we're curious and dig around, you know, but she definitely is a little bit more curious than I am and would walk down scary dark hallways to see what was going on and save the day. I don't know if I would, because I'm a little too scared for that, but I think she's a little more confident than I would.
Well, there's a curiosity and a stubbornness that we see in Emily that, you know, she's going to stick by her friends. She's not going to let the backbiting of some of the other kids in town get to her. What were some of the most fun or adventurous parts in the movie for you to film?
Ooh, it was really fun doing the stunts with other people. I love doing that because, you know, I'm an active person and I love doing that and being able to make it look like I'm fighting someone, and you know that also running, I had to do a lot of running, and also I got to be on this really cool electric scooter, which I loved, and I wanted one of my own actually for a hot minute because I loved it. I thought it was so cool. But also we got to shoot in like some caves in like the woods, which was super fun for me and something very adventurous, and I got to explore around a little bit. I did see a couple snakes though, which is a little scary, but very fun.
What do you think for yourself about the prospect of monsters in the woods or aliens in other worlds, maybe looking for us, maybe not looking for us?
Yeah, honestly, I do have some paranoia about that stuff. I do get like, you know, if you're in the woods and it's dark, you would definitely be looking back, seeing if there's anything behind you or some scary person or something. I think a lot of people have that same suspicion, but also there's people that swear that they see this stuff. I don't know what to believe because people have images, but then who knows if it's photoshopped or fake, and then some people think that it's all not even true. So I mean, I don't even really know what to think, but I'm in the middle.
So skeptical but open-minded. I like it.
Yeah.
So what about you? What sort of stories do you enjoy? Is there science fiction? Is there horror, action adventure, something that really gets you excited when you're reading a story or watching a movie?
For sure. I'm really into scarier movies. I mean, I watched Scream a little bit ago and I was like obsessed with that. Oh, I also love kind of like a romantic adventure. Like Mr. and Mrs. Smith is one of my favorites. So good. I would love to do something. I mean, that's so cool. I would love to do something like what Angelina Jolie did, which is like super cool, and doing all these really cool, sharp stunts and knowing like 5 steps ahead, which, and being like an expert at that stuff, looking like I know what I'm doing, which would be super cool. But I'm also into comedies. I'm into every genre.
So what do you look for when people come to you with a role? Is there something in the character that will turn you off or turn you on in wanting to play that person?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not too picky when it comes to my roles, but I think for sure that they have to be empowering and have some morals. I mean, I'm down to play the villain character, which is be really cool and really fun, but also being the protagonist character, I'm always into, and being also somewhat relatable and something that I could relate to make the acting become more naturally, which would definitely be one of my ideal roles.
Oh, come on, there has to be a lot of fun being the daughter of a supervillain with supervillain aspirations of her own. That'd be fun.
Yeah, very cool.
So what did you, as you know, you're a growing actor, what lessons or insights did you learn from playing Emily in Let Us In?
I definitely learned how to improv on a more like serious setting because I was on a comedy TV show prior, and I learned a lot of like improv for comedy, but I never really knew about improv for sci-fi or thriller. So working on this movie really opened up me up for different improv and also expressing myself and also with stunts, as I said. I think it's really cool. I got to express myself in a whole nother way. Which is something very different.
Nice. So what sort of roles are you looking to play next, and do you eventually want to tell your own stories or direct?
Oh, for sure. I've always wanted to write and also direct ever since I was little. I've always loved seeing my, I've always visited my dad on set. You know, he sat in his director chair, and I was like, I want to do this. And ever since I was little, I've always been directing everyone in life, telling people where to go. Like when I did dance class, like I was the one in front telling everyone what to do. You know, I feel like it's been a natural thing to for me to direct, I guess. But I would love to do some courses and take something on how to do that and eventually direct and make my own story.
Cool. Are you working on anything now that that you can share?
No, I'm not right now. I'm spending the summer COVID-free, I'm excited that I'm going to spend time with my friends and then enjoy the summer because I haven't in like, what, 2 years since COVID started. But once summer's over, I'm going to get back into it and look at some potential projects.
Awesome, awesome. Now, where can folks find you online to keep track of what you're doing? Or are you being smart and avoiding too much social media?
Yeah, I do have social media. I don't go on it that much. I have an Instagram called, it's my name, at Mackenzie Moss, MakenzieMoss, my name. But I do go on Instagram when I post because, my friends are on there. But besides that, I don't really get too into it because I do think it could be a toxic place. And also, it could be bad for your mental health. I've seen that going on, but I am involved, but not too involved.
Yeah, Instagram for me is, I'm not on Instagram, but I like seeing actors and directors post like behind the scenes stuff because I'm so fascinated with the behind the scenes featurettes, the making of, the you see people taking shots on the set where you see the director pointing everybody out, setting up the shot, and I love those things, and I don't know why I can't get enough of them. So I like to check out actor Instagrams and say, hey, what pictures on set did you have there?
Yeah, same. I look forward to seeing all that stuff too. I'm excited to see some of the shots because we had a photographer that took some pictures of us on set, so I'm excited to take a look at those and potentially post those. And also maybe like some videos and stuff. I'm sure that there's some really cool stuff behind the scenes. I'll try to find some stuff, but yeah, I'm excited.
Awesome, because I like I said, I really enjoyed this movie, and I'm hoping that when the Blu-ray comes out, there's going to be some commentary tracks and making of featurettes, and get to see more about how these mysterious black-eyed kids were created, the makeup process, the special effects process, all of that. How involved were you in the special effects, the makeup parts, anyway?
Yeah, I was involved with that. I kind of helped my dad create the look of how he wanted it to be. We kind of had some drawing boards and kind of created how we wanted it to look, like scary, but not scary to the point where the children will be scarred for life. So it's something that's you know, unexpected and, you know, still watchable.
Cool, cool. Well, I look forward to seeing more of this, and you know, who knows, maybe if your dad comes up with an idea for a sequel, we'll see you there too.
Yeah, I hope so. Yes, if there will be one, I'm definitely in it.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Mackenzie, thank you so much for sharing your time today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I had a lot of fun.
The movie is Let Us In from Samuel Goldwyn Films. Sci-fi thriller will be available on digital and on demand on July 2nd. And if you like a fun adventure, sci-fi adventure with precocious teenage children leads and science, this is one you should definitely check out. And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered. In every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
This is Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rift Tracks, and you have bitten off a nice big chunk of Slice of Sci-Fi.
Yeah, so I hope we do get more sci-fi indie films with teenagers as the protagonists, as the main characters. I really had fun with They Reach. I think that was last year, and the year before that there was a Netflix original called See You Yesterday, where two teenagers invent or perfect their idea for time travel, and the girl uses that to try to save her brother from a shooting. So we have teenagers meddling with time travel. We have teenagers using science to defeat demons. And we have teenagers using science to fight paranormal entities, the black-eyed children. I'm kind of curious to see if we're going to get any horror-leaning black-eyed children tales, either a short film that's part of an anthology, a short film that's a standalone, or a full-length feature, because that is a fascinating, fascinating urban legend to me. I originally thought it was a more recent kind of creepypasta, but it turns out that the black-eyed children theme has been around for a while, and had initially been associated with alien abductions. I guess the theory then was that the children's eyes were all black, pupils, irises, corneas, everything. The entire eye was black. They were slightly larger than normal human eyes, which put people in mind of the large solid black eyes of the Greys. So this different take on them in this movie is an entertaining story element. And yeah, as talking with the director, Craig Moss, there's room for sequels and prequels. So we'll see where that goes. But if you have any questions on Let Us In or any other indie sci-fi you've checked out recently, let me know. Send me an email, summer@sliceofsci-fi.com, or hit me up on Twitter, @sliceofsci-fi. You know, I love to chat on Twitter. Probably too much, but I'm working on that. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, iHeartRadio. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please consider leaving us a review or a rating. All of your feedback about the show helps raise our profile and gets other people tuning in, which, again, helps our profile. And if you're a member of Podchaser, go ahead and leave reviews over there. I think Slice of Sci-Fi, Babylon Podcast, and Writers After Dark are definitely listed on Podchaser. Not sure about Charlie Jade. I have to go look at that again. But leave a review. The shows from the Slice of Sci-Fi universe are over there. And starting to have a little fun over there. And of course, there's our website, sliceofsci-fi.com. Come on by. Leave a comment. If you don't want to send in an email question, right there, the comment section of this interview and most of the others on the site are open, waiting for you to weigh in. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently helping to support all the shows in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe. Your donations through PayPal, your patronage through Patreon really, really do help keep the lights on around here. If you'd like to join, add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi. You can pick a level and your email will be added to the hat and you will be eligible for perks. We have Blu-rays, 4Ks, DVDs, books, graphic novels here to give away as perks because I get a lot of stuff to review and I can't keep it all and I'm running out of space. And you don't have to be on the Patreon list in order to be eligible for perks. Folks who support through the PayPal donations are also eligible. It's just a matter of how many emails are in the hat when I push the random number button. But if donating every now and then is more your style, the link to use is paypal.me/sci-fi summer. And again, the folks who are patrons and the folks who are on the old monthly PayPal donation program, all of you are eligible for the aforementioned perks. Your support helps keep these sites going, these podcasts going, and for that, I am ever grateful. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.